When I was a kid, I remember one day when my dad called my name and the names of my brothers with a little bit of authority. And he said, "What are you doing?" We said, "What? What? We're not doing anything." And for once we were right. We weren't doing anything. We were actually playing fair. We weren't cheating. We weren't calling each other names. We weren't picking on each other. We weren't breaking the windows of the house this time. We weren't doing anything. And that was the problem. Dad said, "Why are you not helping your mother bring in the groceries?" And we said, "Well, nobody asked us to." And Dad said, "You shouldn't have to be told." And quickly we ran to help Mom bring in the groceries. This simple story, true story from my childhood, clearly explains the parable in today's gospel of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man was not condemned because he dressed in purple and linen and dined sumptuously every day. The rich man was not condemned because he was wealthy. Because being rich in itself, it isn't sinful. And if we think about it, the rich man was really pretty good, right? Just think about it. He didn't kick Lazarus lying by his door. He didn't spit on him every time he walked by. He didn't stab him in the back with a knife. He didn't call him names. He didn't send his servants to throw Lazarus into the ditch. And he never demanded Lazarus's head on a platter. The rich man was pretty good. So what did he do that deserved such condemnation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. He didn't do anything. And that was the problem. It was not what the rich man did that got him into hell. It was what he did not do that sent him to a place of torment. You know, during the introductory rites at the beginning of the Mass, we always pray the Confiteor. That's the prayer that begins, you probably have it memorized like I do, "I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words and what I have done and in what I have failed to do." In what I have failed to do. My sins are not only what I do, but what I fail to do. And we often forget this part. We often forget this part, this last part of what I failed to do. We think about what we did that's wrong in our thoughts, words, and deeds. And we examine our conscience and we go, "Well, I'm not kicking anybody. I'm not pulling anybody's hair. I'm not calling anybody names. I'm not thinking bad thoughts about anybody. I'm not stealing, killing. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not cheating. I'm not lying. I'm not swearing." And pretty soon we think, "Gosh, I'm doing pretty well." But it was not what the rich man did that sent him to that place of torment. It was what he did not do that caused his torment in the next life. It is just as important to examine my conscience about the good I have failed to do as it is to confess the evil I have done. Let me say that again. That's kind of important. It is just as important to examine my conscience about the good I have failed to do as it is to confess the evil I have done. And so we examine our consciences this morning. And the question to ask is, who is the Lazarus in my life? In other words, who's the person that I ignore? Not the person at work or school that I call names or talk behind their back or play pranks on. Who's the person that I ignore? that I never say hello to, the person I don't even know exists. And don't say something abstract like the poor or the sick or all of those people suffering from floods. Lazarus was not far away. He was right under the rich man's nose. He was lying at the rich man's doorstep. He was very near to the rich man. He was known by the rich man, for the rich man calls him by name, Lazarus. Did you know that Lazarus is the only character in any of the parables of Jesus that's given a name? Think about it. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to the father, nobody has a name in that story. How about this story? A man had a vineyard, and he said to his servants, there's no names in that story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell in a band of robbers. There's no names in that story. But in this story, Jesus gives the poor man a name, so he wouldn't be some abstract person far away. Our poor brothers and sisters have names. They're not just abstract, sick, poor, hungry people. They have names, like you and me. They have real families. They're not just numbers or statistics. They're persons made in the image and likeness of God. So, again, who is the Lazarus in my life? Somebody who's near to me with a real name. We can name them. Somebody that lives next door to us. Maybe one of your parents. Maybe it's one of your siblings. Maybe it's a classmate, another parishioner, somebody on the football team, somebody at work, the secretary or the janitor. Name a specific person. The Lord is challenging me this morning. It's quite a challenge. Not just to say, oh, Father, you've neglected the poor and the sick. Name three. Name two. By name, somebody that we've forgotten. Jesus says it's not enough just to mind your own business and go about your own work. It's not enough just to avoid evil and to say, well, I don't swear and I don't drink and I don't do drugs and I don't gamble and I don't lie and I don't cheat and I don't steal. Good. But it's not enough, Jesus says, just to avoid evil. We have to do the good.